The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, Sharing Your Faith. This is a brand new show on a brand new radio station, firstloveradio.org, your internet channel for Christian listening.
Sharing Your Faith is hosted by me, Larry Dubois, and I've been into evangelism for quite a number of years, and I'll tell you more about that coming up. If you've just joined us, we don't have any idea where you are listening from. This is an internet station, and it goes through virtually anywhere there is internet service. And so as you tune in, most of the audience it'll be English. You can contact us. Go to the First Love Radio website, click on contact, or there's a number of different links you could put there. But I have an email address. It is lawrencedubois@hotmail.com. That is spelled LawrenceDubois@hotmail.com. All one word. Or you can go to my website at lawrencedubois.com. Same spelling. Lowercase, it doesn't really matter nowadays. They've really upgraded the web, and we're very thankful for a radio station, plus my particular show, with virtually no commercials, in-house commercials. I imagine advertising other programs and such, but there'll be no pleas for money or no station breaks from sponsors, that sort of thing. So how we're going to do this show is it's going to be focused on the topic of evangelism. The word in the original Koine Greek language, it is pronounced
euangelizo, euangelizo.
It really means glad tidings, literally glad tidings or good news. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, when the angels tell the shepherds of the birth of Christ, that word, when they say in the English, we bring you glad tidings of good news or glad tidings of great joy. It is that word that we get evangelism from. And so that is what evangelism, the word means, is to proclaim the gospel. And the gospel, that's an archaic word in and of itself. Again, it means the good news, but it encompasses the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, and his work, what he came to accomplish on the cross, his salvation. We're going to have more coming up with that. I want to take a couple minutes here to tell you a little bit more about the show and what it's going to entail. It's going to have various segments. We're going to break up the hour. One of the larger segments will always be teaching out of the Bible, the scriptures and texts that talk about evangelism, and we can glean from the Word of God evangelistic messages and practical lessons that we can use in our everyday life as well. So we're going to be doing some teaching on evangelism. Another segment we will have is what I call question and answers. Now, initially, until a program gets out of its infancy stage, I'm going to bring up my own questions, and I would call these frequently asked questions. These are questions that have come up over the years, and it may be you that have the same questions. So we're going to look at those questions. Eventually, we will take email questions from anyone out there. Again, you can email me, lawrencedubois@hotmail.com. We are not a live program, so we will not be able to take your calls, but we certainly can have contact with you and answer any questions that we can. Another segment of the broadcast will be what I would call interviews. This is where we're going to look to other people in the body of Christ, evangelists, pastors maybe, just common people, everyday people. We're going to interview them. We will have some live interviews. Later today on this show, I'm going to be playing a little segment of an interview I did out on the streets of San Francisco. For those of you who are out there in radio land or internet land, we are broadcasting from the San Francisco Bay Area. It's in the state of California, United States of America. And so out on the streets of San Francisco, we're going to interview a gentleman coming up later in the program. Another aspect of the program is we are going to share the gospel, share it with purpose as well. And part of the show is that we're going to experiment with having a short gospel presentation in a foreign language. And as that opportunity arises, of course, we'll try to give you the interpretation at the time. I have one today, and today is going to be in Mandarin. It is live on the street, so I'm warning you ahead of time. It's not real crystal clear. We want to play that for you today. Some of the other aspects of the shows are when we talk about the different types of evangelism, do want this to be an equipping type ministry to the Christians that may tune in out there, how to share your faith in everyday workplace, in your school, in your family, this sort of thing. I myself am a street preacher. I've been a street preacher for, going on 12 years. I've probably been full-time into it since 2008. Most of my preaching has been done in the city of San Francisco and the surrounding Bay Area. However, I have traveled across the country, and I just completed a trip here a few months ago and have gone through all of the nation, the lower 48, and I preached in over 200 cities. So I have a lot of experience preaching, but not everybody's a street preacher. They say, hey, Larry, why don't you give us some things that we can use? You must remember, before I was a street preacher, as a new believer, I witnessed to my family and friends, and in the sphere of influence that I had, I was very awkward. I was shy. I was timid, and it took the Lord, obviously, by His grace and His power to get me over that, to give me boldness to speak forth the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. The work of Christ on the cross, of course, is a great thing that we should share, not only because the Bible commands us to go out and to evangelize. It tells us that we must go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We know this from the commands that Jesus gave. Also, hopefully we would be sharing it out of the love in our heart that we have and the gratitude for our own salvation, that we'd want to share that with others. Our lesson today, and as a matter of fact, is going to be just that. A man who had no formal training. He wasn't saved very long. He wasn't very experienced, but Jesus told him to go and to tell his friends, and that's what he did. So we're going to be looking at that coming up, another segment here shortly. Well, what more can I say about myself? I don't want to spend too much time, and you'll get to know me over the course of the next several weeks, and hopefully you can tune in. Our show is going to be an hour broadcasted once a week, once the station gets underway. There may be some repeat broadcasts at first. Also, as we get a few broadcasts under our belt, we will be offering podcasts and downloads. So you can always listen to the program if you've missed it. And that's the nice thing about modern technology and the internet. You can go to the website and check out past radio shows. I'll try to have a description up there in case you're looking for a particular topic. We're going to look at the different aspects of evangelism. That's what the show's about, my friends. Well, welcome back, and I thank you for continuing to listen. And if you've just tuned in, this is a program called Sharing Your Faith. It's a one-hour show once a week devoted to evangelism, and it's here right on firstloveradio.org. My name is Larry Dubois, and that is probably properly pronounced as Dubois if we have any French people. So Lawrence Dubois, that's my real name. I go by Larry. I do want to share a little bit more about the ministry the Lord has blessed me with. Over the years, I started out evangelizing in my hometown. The Lord had quickened me. I was at a youth group called Young Life at the time. This was back in the late 70s. I was actually at that meeting trying to date a gal I met at work. I was totally infatuated with this gal, and I followed her around trying to date her. She would only go out with Christians. And so my idea was, well, if I go to this Bible study and I start showing an interest in the Bible and the things of God, then, you know, she'll go out with me. And that was, you know, that was my motive. And of course, I get to the meeting and I'm hearing the leader at the time talk about Jesus. And I think he was using Old Testament scriptures. I don't remember clearly, to be honest with you. I'd like to think it was out of Isaiah 53. You know, that's a common passage people will use to bring forth the gospel of Christ. So regardless of what passage of scripture he used, all of a sudden, it was like a light came on. I was born again. I was overwhelmed with the fact that I knew whatever had just happened to me, I could not reverse it. You know, not to say that I wanted to. It was such an impact on my life. I was so flabbergasted because I even said to myself, look, I came here for her. Now look what I've done. I end up believing. Well, at that time, I felt I got the call to evangelism. I thought it was something simple, as I just felt that if this gospel is true now, if Jesus is alive, which he is, then it doesn't matter about the things that I'm involved in here on the earth. It doesn't really matter my plans. What is the most important now is to tell as many people as I can before it's too late about Jesus Christ. And so through much tribulation and many years of disobedience, running from the Lord like Jonah, the prophet, thank God for the Lord's discipline. Oh, my friend, the Lord is gracious. He's kind, but he is also a stern father. And when you misbehave, he doesn't just kick you to the curb like the world, like the one who is not really his son or daughter, like it says in Hebrews chapter 12, that we are his children and we will undergo discipline. And I thank God he disciplined me. It wasn't pleasant. It's too long a story to get into. It has resulted in the peaceable fruit of righteousness, as the scripture says. And so I got my calling back on track. I went out. I just really left all back in 2005 or so. But I'll tell you more about those things as the program goes on. Right now, I would like to turn the attention back to the evangelistic topics that we will be bringing up. Please continue to listen, my friends. This is Larry DuBois. I'm starting here a new segment. I just want to take a brief moment to reiterate some of the things that the show is going to be about as we share about evangelism, sharing the gospel, going out evangelizing. Now, whether you are preaching from the housetops or you're just having a cup of coffee with your neighbor and you share the faith, you and I are, in fact, evangelizing, and so the Bible tells us to go out. One of the things we're going to cover at some point, and maybe several times, is the concept of fear. Fear is a very deterrent in us sharing our faith. Fear can grip us. Fear can hold us in bondage. Many of us do not share because of fear. Fear of what people will think. Fear of persecution. Fear of ridicule. We may feel awkward, not how to express ourselves. We may be afraid of making a mistake. Oh, my friends, don't be afraid of making a mistake out there. We all make mistakes. Don't let that keep you from just stepping out in faith and sharing the good news with someone. So we're going to cover fear and evangelism. We're also going to look at spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is something that I've seen in the body of Christ since I've been around here, at least in America, has gone on tangents, one extreme to another. Everything is from the devil and then to where the devil doesn't seem to exist at all. So we want to have a balanced biblical view of spiritual warfare. We're going to look to that as well. For a number of years, I participated as a leader in a program called Evangelism Explosion. I believe it's still around. It was very popular back in the 80s and 90s, and it was about the mid-90s in my home church up there in Everett, Washington, that the pastor wanted to have an evangelism ministry, and we decided to go with this Evangelism Explosion, which primarily trains people. Well, one of the outlets to go out is to go door to door. You may visit church visitors that come and follow up on them. If you don't have a lot of church visitors to follow up on, then you go out door to door. I've gone door to door. We're going to look at that. We got a couple gentlemen in our church. And by the way, I am a member of a local church, Christ Bible Church, right here in the Bay Area. It is an affiliate, if you will, of First Love Radio. A couple of guys in the church have faithfully gone out over the years to do door-to-door ministry. We're going to look at street preaching, of course, because that's kind of my forte. Hopefully I'll have some interesting stories and experiences to share. But a lot of the street preaching ministry, you can learn from it in this regard. I want to look to the scriptures as far as our methodologies. We want to look at our demeanor. How does one prepare to go out evangelizing. Now, when we share one-on-one at work or something, it's very spontaneous. And yet when we go out on purpose, like one night a week at the church, or you grab several friends on a Saturday afternoon and say, hey, we're going to hit the streets and we're going to go out and share the gospel, getting ready and getting prepared, praying and reading the Bible and that sort of thing. So we're going to look into those things as well. And hopefully this will be helpful. We're going to look at one-on-one evangelism. This is probably the most common type of evangelism, also called friendship evangelism. We're also going to look at sharing the gospel in the workplace. Now, this can be a very hot topic because the question is, should we share at work or should we not? Should we keep silent? There's some different aspects to that. I myself have witnessed in the workplace, and so I want to tell you some stories about that. We want to look at devote at least one show to that of sharing the faith in the workplace. Sharing amongst friends and families, this is something, you know, I mentioned earlier in the program that I did, but also those are the closest people to us, and so that's who we should go to first, you know. Besides fear is what affects me a lot is laziness. I'm just too tired. Oh, I don't want to talk to that person. I wonder if they have questions. And so I get lazy and pass up many opportunities. Well, God forbid that we stay in a state of that. And so we need prayer to the Lord and that he would give us desire as well. And then to step out in faith and obey that. And so my friends, those are a lot of the topics. Now coming up in today's program, like I mentioned, we are going to have, after we leave this segment of me just sort of having an introduction about the show and myself, we're going to enter into some gospel preaching. Then it's going to go to the teaching of today's lesson. I got an interview of a man named Ken Onega out on the streets of San Francisco. Hope you'll join us every week or when you can listen at Sharing Your Faith. I'm Larry Du Bois, your host. Well, we certainly don't want to let program go by without giving out the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the main reasons is that people may listen to this program that are not saved, or maybe they are church attenders, they're serious seekers, there's all kinds of different people that could tune into a program like this. So we want to be faithful to share the basics of the gospel. I'm going to share just a brief sample of the gospel that I would give out to a person or someone, whether I'm street preaching or one-on-one. And then it's going to be followed up with, I got a sample here of a short tape of a gal sharing in Mandarin, and then the interpretation of that. And each week, hopefully, as the program gets underway, we will be able to have different languages spoken as well. And so if you're English, bear with us. It's just a few minutes. It's for the sake of the elect. It's the sake of the lost, for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we go with the good news. I usually start with the sin. I don't always start with the subject of sin, but I start off sometimes just preaching Christ. You know, Paul says to preach Christ and him crucified. And so I like to tell people who Jesus is and what he came to do and how that is pertinent to them. So we know that Jesus is God Almighty who became a man. He humbled himself coming into this world through the virgin womb of Mary. He was able to live a holy life. He was in every way human as we are, yet without sin. The Bible tells us he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Another scripture says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And so he comes into the world as a perfect representation of the human race. We are defiled, we are corrupted, and we are sinners by nature. Sin is lawlessness. And sin came into the world through the first man, Adam. It tells us in Romans chapter 5 that through one man's disobedience, God brought the judgment that led to condemnation on all men. So every human being on the face of the earth is guilty before God, that every mouth may be stopped. That tells us that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world, was able to live a holy, righteous, perfect life, fulfilling all of the law of God, and he did it on our behalf. Then he laid down his life in death as a substitute. He went to the cross. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. But on the third day, he rose from the dead, and he is alive forevermore. He has called us, my friends, to repent and to believe in the gospel. Now, what is believing? Is it more than just an intellectual acknowledgement of the facts? Is it more than giving God lip service? Oh, yes, it is, my friends. It's where we trust Christ. It says the just shall live by faith. It tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him, but that if anyone comes to God, he must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Isaiah the prophet says, seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will be shown mercy, and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And so, my friends, as we turn and put our trust in Christ, Jesus said in John chapter 3, we must be born again. We must be born from above. We are dead in our spirits, dead in our trespasses and our sins. We must be brought back to life. And then one day at the end of the age, there'll be a resurrection of the body, of both the just and the unjust. Oh, my friends, it's a serious thing to reject the offer of salvation in Christ. If we die in our sin, we will go to eternity separated from God in the burning flames of hellfire. Oh, my friends, turn and put your trust in Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We don't know when we're going to die. And so trust Christ today. Be of good cheer. He has overcome the world.
I'd like to share a scripture with you, which is in Hebrews 9, chapter 9. Translated in Chinese is 希伯来书9章27节。就如人人注定都有一死，而且死后有审判。照样，基督为了担当众人的罪孽，也被献上一次，将来还要再一次显现，不是为了罪，而是为了使那些热切等待他的人得到救恩。In book of Hebrews, chapter 9:27 says, and just as each person is destined to die at once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sin of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. That's the good news.
Well, let's get started with our teaching today. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I would title this message, Basics of Our Witness. And the reason I do is because what we're going to see in this passage is a man who was bound by many, many demons. And he was freed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was healed. He was delivered. Believed that he was saved. And the first thing he did by the instructions of Jesus was to go and just to share what had happened to him. And so what I want to draw out in this section is that you don't have to go to lots of schools. You don't have to go to a seminary, a Bible school, a theological training. You don't have to do any of these things to witness for Christ. If you're saved, if you're born again from above, then you have a testimony and you have a witness to share what Jesus has done for you. And we're going to see some of the details of this story as we look to the gospel account here. Now, the account of the demon-possessed man is found in what is called the synoptic gospels. That would be Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew's account, he tells us of two demoniacs, while the other gospels speak of just one man. This is probably because the one man was doing the talking, or else the demons in the one man were doing the talking.
Mark and Luke focus on this one, and that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at Mark's version. So Mark chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 19 through 21, three short verses. We want to just look at these. Of course, there's more to the story, but we're going to look at just the aspect that pertains to evangelism so we can get some practical lessons. So let's go here, and I'll just read the text. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And so as we look to this story, we're going to draw out some of the basic things about this man as he began to witness or to tell people about Jesus. Now, Jesus had come to this area that's called the Gadarenes. And as he got out of the boat, he was met by two men. It was near tombs. These men were bound with the spirits, the demonic spirits. They broke chains. They could not be tamed. It tells us they were fierce. People were afraid of them. They lived in the tombs. They were unclean. They ran around naked half the time, apparently. They were very possessed. And so they were in a bad way. Now, Jesus, as he approaches them, the demons cry out. There's a small dialogue. As the story goes, Jesus cast the demons out into the pigs. We're going to pick up the story here where this miracle of deliverance was a great testimony of what Christ does for people. But now when he had got back into the boat, now this is to for him to leave. You know, they begged him that they would leave the area, him and his disciples. So in 19, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. So he was delivered. It was such a great miracle that this man was no doubt saved in my mind. He was very enthused and very willing and desired to go with Jesus. Now, many times in the ministry of Jesus, he called and even commanded people to follow him, in which many made excuses and were half-hearted. Not the case with this man. He was wholehearted as he begged Jesus to go with him. You know, where else was he going to go? I mean, he had, we don't know how long, it says it was for a long time that he had been this way. But where else was he going to go? He was spiritually bankrupt and he just wanted to follow Christ. So the first point I make here is the desire to follow. He loved him so much. It says in the scriptures that he who is forgiven much will love much. He who is forgiven little will love little. Well, this man had been forgiven much and he loved much. Now, we don't have time to get into the teaching of was this man filled with the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost? Remember, the Lord had promised the disciples that the promise of the Father was going to come and it was going to fill them up, and that made them into bold witnesses. In John chapter 12, it tells us the Spirit, when Jesus was referring to out of the heart of man will flow rivers of living water out of those who believe on him, that river of living water was the Holy Spirit, but it said the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so the Holy Spirit had not come into the world in a particular ministry. The Holy Spirit, like the rest of the Godhead, of course, is always present, has always existed, and is working in the Old Testament as well as the New. But in this case, this man, wasn't like we are today, where we're filled with the Spirit and we get power and desire and we can go out and preach the gospel with boldness. But it just said he loved, or I say he just loved him much, that he was very eager. The second thing I noticed from this text in verse 19 is that he made himself available. This kind of goes hand in hand. He had a desire, and then he made himself available. I found this to be one of the basic qualifications to be used by the Lord, is your availability, to be available. He desired to follow Jesus so much, it wasn't like he said to Jesus, well, let me see what else is I got going on, and where are you going again, and you know, what's going to be the, what's the conditions of this? No, no. He had a wholehearted to follow. He was available to follow. And so these are the basic tenets of our witness, I believe, is a willingness to follow and to be available. Okay, verse 20. It tells us that Jesus, however, did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. This is interesting because he told him to go and tell. Many occasions, as you remember, the Lord told the people that were healed not to say anything or to make him known. But here, he does the opposite. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, it gives us some Old Testament prophecy that would give us an indication of the reason Jesus wanted to keep a low profile and told the people not to make him known. But here, he wanted this man to go, not to follow with him like the other disciples, but to go and to tell. And these are the things, basically three things. He told him, go home to your friends, tell them great things he's done, and tell of the compassion of the Lord. So go and tell. I think of that song we sing at Christmas, go tell it on the mountain. And so the idea there is to go and tell. So the first observation in verse 20 is go. The command is always to go. It says elsewhere in the Great Commission passages that go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Mark's version says go and to all the world and preach the gospel. And so the idea is to go. And like I always like to say, whether you go across the room or across the world, we are to go. In verse 20, also Jesus specifically says, go to friends and go back to your home, see. And those are the people that apparently is a good idea to go to first. They know us the best. It's a good place to start is with people closest, like friends and family. Now, admittedly, in this man's case, the drasticness of his change was very impressive. Later in the text, it says they marveled greatly. Well, maybe we haven't had such a drastic contrast to our former life or, you know, so that we would, they're not going to notice, but they should notice something. We still have something to say. We still have something to tell them. And so this man was told to go to his friends. And so I wanted to share with you just a little bit of what happened to me as a new believer. I was with a group of disciples that were present there when I came to Christ and I was born again. And, you know, they said that you should go tell somebody this happened. And so I went and I called a friend at the time. I was living in my hometown area of Seattle, Washington. And I called this friend of mine in Los Angeles and I says, hey, Merle, you'll never guess what. I became a Christian. I've received Christ and I'm going to follow him. And Merle says to me, oh, you stupid idiot. What'd you go and do that for? You know, you can't party now, don't you? So I was very discouraged. I don't know if I was under the impression that everybody was going to think this was a great thing I did, but I was very discouraged. I went back to the group and they said, well, you know, try it again. Go tell somebody else. Try, go tell your mom. And so I went to mom, and of course, after that experience with Merle, I was a little gun shy, and so I approach her, and my head is hung low, and I'm talking to her, not even looking at her. I says, well, mom, I've been hanging out with these Christians, and you know, I became a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I received Christ, and they told me to tell you, so I'm telling you. And that's about how I shared with her. And you know, to my surprise, though, she said, well, Larry, me and your sister have noticed a change in you. And so even though it had only been about a week or less, and I hadn't noticed really any change. I know something happened drastically in me, but I didn't know anything changed in me outwardly. But my own mom noticed. So that's a praise to the Lord Jesus Christ for the Holy Spirit in us being born again. But my point of the whole story is that I went and told people that were near to me. And so we have to start by witnessing to one person. And Jesus said to him, go and tell your friends. Okay, so another point I make here in verse 20 is he went by himself. Now, in a formal ministry, perhaps going two by two, that's the norm. But let's face it, when you witness to your friends, family, and coworkers, you're going to be by yourself as this man was. And so nothing wrong with that. Of course, we have the Lord, and he is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we have the Holy Spirit in us as well to help us. So we're never alone, really. The next point I want to bring out is the message, verse 20. Tell them the great things the Lord has done. So, my friends, if you are saved, then you have all you need to start telling people about Christ. Tell them what he's done for you, how he has saved you. Now, the other thing was, I would say here is the attributes of God. We should be telling the world that is ignorant of the living God how good God is, his attributes. It says, he said to the man, tell them how the Lord had compassion on you. And so we have had compassion on us. The Lord has saved us. And so we need to tell them when we tell people. Tell them about the Lord and tell them about his compassion. In verse 21 now, it says he, the demon-possessed man, the one that was formerly demon-possessed, he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Okay, so he obeyed by departing. That was one of the things. He departed. The command to go, he went in obedience. The word proclaim here in the Greek is a word that we would pronounce in the Greek transliteration, caruso. And this means to give proclamation like a public herald. Most often this word is translated preach or preaching in the Gospels and the rest of the book of Acts. When Jesus and the apostles and the others that were preaching the word, one of the words it could be is caruso, which means a proclamation. So this man was not quiet. He was telling everybody. Perhaps he was an open-air preacher. The message was simple. Just tell what Jesus has done. And more specifically, what Jesus has done for him, or what he has done for you. Now, the response, like I mentioned earlier, they all marveled. Maybe they're not going to marvel. Maybe they're going to be skeptical of what you tell them. Maybe they're going to be in total denial and unbelief. But it doesn't really matter how they respond. You may get a response like I did with Merle. They're not going to necessarily approve of it, but the point is we still must tell. We still must go in obedience to Christ. And so he obeyed by going. Obedience is key in evangelism. We must obey even when it's not convenient and when we just don't feel like it. Secondly there, he pointed to Jesus. Remember to point heavily to Jesus Christ when sharing your faith with people. We like to tell people what happened to us, and we don't want to subtly cross over into the realm where we're talking more about ourselves than we are Jesus. And this is easy to do. This is something that it takes a little discipline and practice. Practice sharing your testimony. Just give your testimony of what Jesus did, how he saved you. Don't be afraid of making a mistake. That would be an advice I would give anyone out there. If you're afraid of making all kinds of mistakes, you won't do anything. So just go for it. You're going to make mistakes. Okay, I did. It's a learning curve, but just go out and share. Okay, so the bottom line here. Although this freshly healed and delivered soul had no formal training, no Bible or theology school, he went about proclaiming what Jesus did for him. Are you saved? Has the Lord done great things for you? Then by all means, my friend, what are you waiting for? Go and tell it. That is our lesson for today. Join us next week on the show for another lesson out of the Bible on evangelism. Now that's next week. Don't go anywhere yet, because coming up is another exciting segment of the program, Sharing Your Faith. I'm your host, Larry Du Bois, and I'm glad you stayed tuned. Welcome to this segment of the broadcast, where we answer questions about evangelism. If you have any questions, please email me your questions that you may have about the Bible pertaining to evangelism, or any question that is pertinent to our subject. My email address is lawrencedubois@hotmail.com. You can also get this information off the First Love Radio website. Well, since this is our first show, I'm going to take a question that has been frequently asked about the street preaching. And this is a question that has come up over the years. The question is, do you think preaching the gospel on the streets is effective? So this question, do you think preaching the gospel on the streets is effective? Well, first of all, let me answer this by sharing a little testimony. Some time ago, I was preaching in my hometown, Seattle, Washington, and I was out on the street there by Westlake Center. A man came up to me and sort of waited there in the wings, and I knew he wanted to talk to me, so I stopped preaching, and he introduced himself as a local pastor, and he asked me, "Do you think what you're doing here is effective?" Well, as I began to start to share with him, he interrupts me and proceeds to tell me how he does evangelism. And he basically describes what most people would call friendship evangelism. That is where you befriend somebody, a coworker or an acquaintance, maybe a neighbor, and over time you get to know the person, you witness to them here and there, little by little. Eventually you invite them to church and he becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what I told him was, I said, you know, what you're describing to me is reaping. You're a reaper. And I showed him John chapter 4. And let's go ahead and read that. Jesus in John chapter 4 tells his disciples, when he's talking about the harvest, I'll pick it up in verse 36. Jesus doing the talking. "He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." That's John 4, verses 36 through 38. I said, as far as reaping goes, I can't think of any better way than what you just described to me. But what I'm out here doing, I'm more of a sower. I'm just throwing out the gospel as far and wide as I can, sowing as many seeds as I can, and it falls on the heart. And I said, to be involved in a sowing of the seed ministry, I cannot think of a better way to do it than how I'm doing it here. Well, you know, he, I think, came to an understanding. We parted friends. I think I gave him something to think about, is that we know that the Bible tells us that the word of God will not return void. You see, we're always looking for some visible signs to validate what we're doing, I suppose. You know, when we get involved in pragmatic evangelistic efforts, what can happen is, of course, we're going to be looking for results to see if it's effective. And if it doesn't work, if we don't get the desired results, then we scrap that and go on to something else. But what I've come to do is to preach the gospel, the main message of salvation, and proclaim the word of God and put my trust in that, as that is God's means to save. Now, we could go into a lot of
detail about what it says in the Word concerning how we should be preaching out there on the streets and if we should be preaching. But I don't necessarily look for immediate results. So to be effective, it is effective in this way. They're hearing the message. You know, I'm called or you are called to bring the message. We're not responsible for the results. God brings the increase. And so I find it to be effective, and we'll know in eternity just how effective on that day. But if we're faithful to do it God's way and with God's words, we can never go wrong, no matter what visible fruit we see immediately.
Well, we have some more time, so we're going to answer another question. This question is, how do you know if you are called to street preach? I believe that God puts it upon a person's heart. You can't explain it. You just have this inner desire. You read the scriptures that tell you to go and serve the Lord, go out and evangelize, and those scriptures find a place in your heart, and you're compelled to obey them. That's kind of the initial idea. Now, we're all called to be a witness. If you're a Christian out there, we're all called to witness of Christ. But there are those that are set apart for a specific ministry that God has called, that is separated to go out and to be a preacher in the public arena. I think it also requires, besides a inner calling, along with that, the Lord is going to give you gifts that would complement the preaching. For example, in 2 Peter, it talks about a speaking gift. It says, if anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. And so there's a speaking gift out there. There's also a gift of teaching, a gift of prophesying. There's these gifts that would complement your call to street preach. Now, when I was a young man, I was very timid. I was very shy and cowardly. I was the farthest thing from a public speaker you could imagine. So early on, someone could have looked at me and said, oh, you're not cut out for this. You're not called to this. You're afraid of your own shadow. You can't speak. You can't go into a store and tell the guy what you want. Embarrassing enough, as I was about 7 years old, I went to a baseball game with some cousins that I didn't really know that well, and my mom wasn't there. I was so timid and gripped with fear, I didn't want to tell them I had to go to the bathroom. And so I wet my pants. Now, this is something that's beyond, you know, probably what you're going through. But nevertheless, I had to get born again. You know, I was born again. And then God placed, he totally changed me. He used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And so, but going back to the main question, or how do you know if you're called to be a street preacher? You usually know. You may have doubts. You may want to seek the Lord's counsel. Usually you'll have some sort of confirmation through other people. And there's more that could be said about that. God would use the people in the body of Christ to confirm your ministry. It will probably be obvious to everyone else before it is to you, that sort of thing. You kind of get moving, and then God will direct you. So I'm going to tell you more about my story.
If you're a young man out there, or even an older man, and have aspirations to be a street preacher or evangelist, you will want to tune in. You can always contact us through the radio station. I would say in the last 10 years or so, there's been a resurgence of street preaching. As for me, I always had a heart to witness and evangelize ever since I was saved. It was probably in the mid or 1990s or so, I felt a call and an urge to do what is called open air preaching. It is simple. You just go out and stand where people are and begin preaching the gospel to them. Sounds easy enough. Well, around this time, I read a short section in a larger book on evangelism. The man who wrote about open air preaching did most of it in foreign countries. I do not remember his name, but I certainly remember his statement. He said, if public speaking gives you butterflies, open-air preaching gives you helicopters. Well, I've always been timid, and I could certainly relate to that statement. Open-air preaching was certainly out of my comfort zone. Well, for the longest time, I didn't know anyone who did this type of evangelism. And every Christian I talked to thought it to be archaic and said it was the wrong way to share about Jesus. I was easily persuaded and suppressed the desire to open-air preach. Eventually, I broke free from this and started to dabble a bit on my own. I would go to the normal places where I witnessed one-on-one in my hometown, but there was not enough people. I thought I needed a bigger crowd to warrant the street preaching. So I would go to where bigger crowds were, and then I'd chicken out. Well, I did this many times, and through much failure and much prayer, I managed to accomplish some open-air preaching. Well, the reason I bring this up is that you may out there in our listening audience be a fellow like myself. You have this internal call, this tug on your heart by the Lord to do something such as just open-air preach in the public arena, and yet you don't know where to start. You don't know anybody else that does it in your community. Granted, now with the internet and Facebook, there's a lot more out there available to people that have never experienced open-air preaching. Quite frankly, however, some of the videos that you may look at on there are nothing more than entertainment, and they try to, you know, get hits on their website by having shocking videos about things. Not all do that, but I would like you to contact us. That's Lawrence Dubois. It's spelled LawrenceDub as in boy, OIS. That's all one word. And then at hotmail.com.
Hello, this is Larry Dubois. We're out here on the streets today in San Francisco, California, right in the heart of the city here off of Market Street. In the background there, you can hear Andrew Conway preaching. We're down here on evangelistic outreach at a Saturday here in February 2018. And so right beside me here, I got Ken Onega, who has regularly come out here on Saturdays now, as well as other days in the week. He lives in south of San Francisco in the Mountain View area. He's done a lot of evangelism over the years. Myself with him, we've gone to San Jose, Santa Cruz. He's done a lot of things in San Mateo and Redwood City. Today we're in San Francisco, and so I'm going to ask Ken to comment on a few things. Ken, what do you see as a big part of the outreach to a city this size? When people seem to kind of just go by in haste, you think to yourself, am I getting through to these people?
Well, what we have over here is, you know, we have Bibles, we have audio preaching, we have banners, we have placards, and they're all on scriptures. You know, the thing is that the people do not know their condition, and a lot of the people, they just ignore the message that is being given from the Bible. That's the gospel, and that's all we do is we're out here bringing the good news of Jesus Christ. We're planting the seed. This is the calling that we have. Why we do it? Because Jesus commands us to do it. There's more to it. The people are lost, and we know where the destination is going to be when they leave this earth or take the last breath from this life on this earth. We love them. You know, Jesus loves them very much. That's the reason why he sent, you know, he sent us out. We go wherever he wants us to go. We do things according to what his command is, and share his word. We're under his rulership. You know, nobody else. There's no other thing that I would rather do than proclaim the good news, you know, doing the will of God. And that's the heart's desire that God has placed in our hearts, my heart, and also with Larry and all the brothers that are here as well. I think it was in 2008, and you know, and eventually years later, I got to come out of here, and this is where God has me right now.
All right, that's great. Thanks, Ken. In the future, we're going to have to get you in the studio, ask you some more things, but it's pretty noisy out here. People often wonder why we use loudspeakers or amplifiers, and it's a big city, a lot of noise.
Well, my friends, that's all we have time for this week. Make sure you tune in next week. See you next time on Sharing Your Faith.